All right, we are in the third chapter of Romans, and this is where we left off Sunday morning. And we noticed that, you know, the bottom line of this argument, as you get down here to verse 18, the Jews have been talking about the righteousness of God or the justness of God. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, Paul has been affirming that the gospel is indeed the law of God now and not the Mosaic law. And they've basically been questioning that, saying, is that fair? And that's blasphemous in and of itself, the question. But that's not the first time people have questioned God blasphemously. So here's the main point, though, I think that we need to get out of this, and I've kind of highlighted it for us. It says in verse 9, what then? Are we Jews better than the Gentiles? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks. And you'll know that, notice that this is a phrase that comes up over and over and over and over again throughout the book of Romans, Jew and Gentile, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile, both Jews and Greeks, that they are all under sin. And then, as we quoted, or as he quoted from Psalm 14 and 53, there is none righteous, there are none who understands. There are none who seek after God. They have all turned aside. There is none that is good. No, not one. And he just continues to go on how that mankind in general have not sought after God, Jew and Gentile. And then I think it's important that you look at verse 18 here where he says there is no fear of God before their eyes, because that's really where it begins. A reverence for God is the beginning of a performance of the will of God. Without a reverence for God, you're not going to exalt Him. You're not going to obey Him. You're not going to live to glorify Him. So that's kind of the bottom line of it. And both Jew and Gentile are guilty of it. Any comments or questions on what I just said there, or anything that we've talked about in chapter 3? Right. Yeah, that's, Pax pointed out that there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's why the Gentiles pursued after other gods and gratified their flesh in all the various forms that are mentioned there in chapter 1. But what he's been saying in chapter 2 and chapter 3 is that the Jews are guilty of the same thing. They've assumed too much to their own destruction, unless they repent. So, verse 19, he says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty. I think that as you read verse 19, that you need to understand that this is a general principle. I don't know if he is particularly talking about any particular law, the Mosaic law, or the law of Christ, or the law of men. This is a general principle. We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. People who are under Russian law are not under American law, and vice versa. Okay? People who were under the Mosaic law were not under the law of Christ, because there wasn't any law of Christ, okay? So the Jews had the special law to themselves from God, and the Gentiles, although it's not commonly said what's the law of God or what God reveals is, the Gentiles were still under the patriarchal law. It wasn't like they wasn't under a law at all. They were still under the patriarchal law. And we don't know all of the principles of that because it was an oral law handed down from generation to generation by word of mouth, from fathers to children and so on, from generational type of thing. But nevertheless, this is a principle. You will be judged by the law that you're under. Okay? And you're going to build upon that. Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, here I think you can start to make a specific application, even though it's still a general principle. He's leading into a specific application. And so, Psalm 143 and verse 2, it's kind of a, it states the same principle. This is not a quotation here. What he says in verse 20 is not a quotation, but the principle that he is working off of is the principle that's stated here in 143 and verse 2. He says, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. And so he's in the midst of a prayer to God here, asking for forgiveness of sins. But he says, in thy sight, no man is justified. Every man's condemned in the eyes of God. Okay? The wages of sin is death. Nevertheless, the point here is specifically beginning to point towards the Mosaic law, by the deeds of the Mosaic law, because he's going to talk about justification here a lot. By the deeds of the Mosaic law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the Mosaic law is a knowledge of sin. And so the point he's making here is that the law didn't justify. The law convicted. The law made them aware of their guilt of sin. The Hebrew writer will work on this point and magnify it, but it's a point that comes up over and over throughout the Scriptures. Okay, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the Mosaic law is revealed. And so it's important here that, especially when you come, and throughout the book of Romans, we've mentioned this before, is that one of the tricky parts about it is that people read law here and they just think law of God, and we're under a law of God and that sort of thing. And but he is making an application specifically to the Mosaic law. The righteousness of God apart from the Mosaic law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Being witnessed by the Mosaic law and the prophets. The Mosaic law foretold. Moses said, a prophet shall rise like unto me. And, of course, Peter made it emphatically clear that that prophet was Jesus in Acts chapter 3 as he was speaking to those who were there in Jerusalem. So, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. What does Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17 say? Pardon me? The rest of it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 17, first part of verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Okay? In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And in essence, he says that here. When he goes on to say, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. So you notice that how he's using, you know, everybody's in the same boat. Okay? None are righteous, but all who have, who believe in God, have faith in Jesus Christ, will be justified. Okay? So he's appealing to that righteousness. Let me read the rest of this, and then we'll come back and pick up on this. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate that at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Okay. So, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. There's no distinction now between Jew and Gentile. There was a distinction when God gave the nation of Israel the Mosaic Law. They had different laws. One had the patriarchal law, the other had the Mosaic Law. Now there is no difference. Okay? The righteousness of God is revealed through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There's no difference between the two now. Major statement in this chapter, of course, is verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the solution to sin is not found in the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law pointed to the solution for sin, but the solution for sin is found in, as he's going to call it here, the law of Christ, through faith. The faith that is in Jesus Christ. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be the propitiation for His blood, by His blood, through faith. All right. So, propitiation. Propitiation means a satisfaction for the wrong. Okay? If you break the speed limit, there is a set satisfaction for the wrong, depending upon how much you're breaking the speed limit and so forth. You know, you get a fine for, I don't know, so many miles over the speed limit and in excess, and you can go to jail and lose your license and lose your freedom for a period of time, I guess, you know, if you're going fast enough and driving recklessly enough. But we understand that. There is a satisfaction for the wrong. What is the satisfaction for the wrong of our sin? No, He's set forth to be the propitiation. What? No. Romans 6 and verse 23. First part of that verse says, the wages of sin is death. In other words, the propitiation for sin is death. The price that has to be paid for sin is death. Period. Somebody's going to pay the price for your sin. Either you are, or you can allow Jesus to do it. Without Jesus, you're going to pay it yourself. Your parents can't pay it for you. Your best friend can't pay it for you. Unless you make Jesus your best friend. So, we are justified freely by His grace. What is grace? And in this sense, the big G. The big grace. The unmerited favor of God. We didn't do anything that compelled God. We didn't do anything that compelled God to save us. It was only because He loved us. And so it's an unmerited favor. Nevertheless, we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption. What does redemption mean?
To buy back.
We sold ourselves out when we sinned. God says, I can buy you back through the redemption that is in Christ. Okay? And so we might say, our salvation by grace is a free gift to us, but it's not free to God. Somebody has to pay the price for your sin. And what this passage is saying is that we are justified freely, didn't cost us anything, by His grace. We didn't do anything to compel Him that obligated Him to save us. Through the redemption, He paid the price of redemption. He paid the ransom price, if you will. God set forth Christ Jesus to be the propitiation by His blood. Okay? But we are justified, we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus through faith. Not through the Mosaic law. You know, it's like you have to kind of realize that that's implied here, all the way through here. That what saved us is Jesus Christ. Okay? And belief in Jesus Christ, as He says up there, in verse 22. Okay? Not the law.
But wasn't that one of the problems with especially the Jews at this time, they didn't have faith. They relied on, oh, well, we've got the law. We were born Jews.
Yeah. This is written to Jewish Christians, okay, who continued to boast in the law, chapter 2, okay? And so he's saying, I don't understand why you're still boasting in the law, because your boast should be entirely in basically the fulfillment of the law in Christ, you see? All right, so why did He do that? Why did He pay the price for our sins with the blood of His own Son? To demonstrate His righteousness. What was being argued in the first part of this chapter? Kind of God's unrighteousness. You know, He's turned His back on those of us who have kept the law. Paul, if you're saying we don't have to keep the law, then hasn't God turned His back on us? No. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Okay? So the emphasis is upon this present time, not the past time. You're not in the period of the Mosaic Law anymore. We're in this present time of Christ. Okay? that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That's what it all comes down to. Faith in Jesus, not those who practice the Mosaic Law. Okay? That's what's implied here. You know, see the whole argument. There are many of those who would say, yeah, he is the just and justifier of those who have faith in Jesus, but you have to keep the Mosaic Law in order to be saved. No. No, you don't. You see? It doesn't have anything to do with keeping the Mosaic Law. He is very logically going to just knock the foundation out from underneath them. You know, regardless of which side of that you're looking at, he's going to knock it down. And when he starts arguing on Abraham, and they're all sitting there saying, yeah, Abraham, he was saved by faith. And wait a minute. There wasn't any Mosaic Law when Abraham was around, okay? But he was saved by faith. So why are you boasting in the Mosaic Law? It's always been by faith, is basically what he's arguing. Okay? And that goes back to the point up there in verse 19. I think that's what that says. Yeah. That you're judged by the law that you're under. Abraham was judged by the law that he was given. Okay? And so you could say, and I don't mean to throw a monkey wrench into all this because I don't think that's really what's being emphasized here, but you could say that those who lived under the Mosaic Law revered God, kept His commandments, okay? They were living by faith. They heard what God said. They trusted what God said. They did what God said. So that was by faith. You know, that was a principle of faith. But the Mosaic Law in and of itself did not save. And that's the point that he's making here. The Mosaic Law pointed to the faith that is in Christ. Okay? God paid the price for our sins with the blood of His only Son. He paid the price in His death. Okay? All right, so where's the boasting then? Look at chapter 2 and verse 17 again. What did he reason with them? What did he ask them? Okay, so they were boasting in the law, you know, and so this is why I say it is so important that when you sit down to read the scriptures, an epistle, read the whole epistle. You know, in a Bible study like this, we're cookie cuttering it up, as I said, you know, and sometimes we lose the context of the argument. It's an argument that he introduced in chapter 2 and verse 17. You know, they didn't come to chapter 3 and say, well, we're not boasting in the law. Yeah, you are. You know, he established that in chapter 2. Okay? Where is the boasting then? It's excluded. Of what law? Of works? Of working the Mosaic Law? No. But by the law of faith. And you don't hear that phrase very often in the scriptures. And you don't even hear it that often here in Romans. You would think that he would start making distinctions between the law of Moses and the law of faith, okay? And he does, okay, but he doesn't spell it out that way. He just says law, faith. And the reader is to understand. And if you were a Jew in the first century in Rome, or any place in the world, really, and reading this law, you'd understand that that's, you know, that's what was being debated. Law of Moses, law of Christ, or faith. Okay? Sherry.
If you were going to explain this to a person, especially somebody like somebody who's just coming to Baptist church, could you go as far as saying that the law of the Jews would curtail all their activities? You would be talking about when they went into the meeting and the temple and the priest and the what not to eat, and that would be the whole part of that Jewish law.
Yeah, and he's going to get into that in chapter 14. You know, when he starts talking about the cultural distinction between, you know, that the Mosaic law kind of established for the Jews, it presented a culture for them of, you know, holidays and what you eat and what you don't eat and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And there were a lot of Jewish Christians that had a hard time letting go of those traditions and those distinctions. And basically what Romans 14 says, you don't have to let go of them, you know, just so long as you don't emphasize it. The Jewish Christians were saying, you have to do these things in order to be saved. Okay, Paul says, no. But if you want to do them as a matter of your culture, that's okay. You know, but we'll get to that when we get to it. Okay, so verse 28, he says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Understand what he's saying? A man is justified by faith in Christ, the law of faith, apart from doing anything in the Mosaic law. Okay? That's a pretty big statement. You know, and he said an awful lot before he got to this conclusion. Okay? In other words, everything I've said so far is to make this conclusion. And now he's going to work off of the conclusion and start building on it. Yeah.
And later in Galatians 3, he says that the gospel was preached to Abraham, that the Gentiles would be justified, and then he made the statement, in him the Lord will be blessed. And he says basically, he was telling Galatians, the gospel was already being pronounced and preached to Abraham before the law was in there. And this was God's plan from the very beginning, that everyone would be justified by faith. In by faith, and so the law of faith would be justified.
Yeah, it had always been by faith, but he's pointing to a specific faith in a specific law. You know, he's not talking about generally, he's talking about specifically. It all points to Christ, okay, and builds off of Christ. Right, right. Okay, or is he a God of the Jews only? Is he not also a God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. So again, verse 28 there, Mosaic law. And I think that it's important for us to go to the verses above. There's no way that I could get it all in one column there, so I did it like this. Go back to what we just noticed there in verses 24 through 26. When he says, a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. This is a conclusion, okay? It's what he had been building up to. You'll notice here that, again, in verse 24 and 25, we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Does He have the right to judge? Yes. More importantly, He has the right to save. To demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance, in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. What's He saying? The blood that was shed by Christ, the death that Jesus endured, did not only benefit those who live this side of the cross in faith, but also previous to the cross who lived in faith, who revered God, believed God, trusted God, obeyed God, and lived to His glory. In His forbearance. Well, God waited an awful long time to forgive them. Yeah. God is patient. In His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So, your ancestors, Jewish Christians, who lived under the Mosaic law, okay, it's not like they weren't forgiven because they didn't practice the law of faith in Christ Jesus, or that Abraham wasn't forgiven because he didn't practice the Mosaic law or the law of faith in Christ Jesus. God paid the price for everyone's sin. To demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So again, you've got sins that were previously committed, and at this present time, what's He doing about that? It's the law of Christ. Okay? All right. So it all comes down to faith in Jesus. There is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Now, you might look at that and you might get, is he making a play on words here? I don't know. Everything that I have studied on this and extensively, when say, why does he say the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith? Is he making a distinction? And you would think so, because by faith and through faith. But everything I've read on this, the Greek and everything in this says there's two ways of saying the same thing. Okay? So, you know, and I think it comes back to, and you could say, well, the Jews, the circumcised, if you want to look at it that way, according to the Mosaic law, but circumcision goes all the way back to Abraham, doesn't it? Okay. The circumcised were justified by faith. They heard what God said, trusted what God said, did what God said to His glory. Okay. And the uncircumcised through faith. We do the same thing, but now it's in Christ. Okay. You could say that. Okay. But I don't really know if that's what he's, I don't think that's what he's arguing. I think what he's arguing is this present time. And of course, the main thing of the Judaizing doctrine was circumcision. Unless you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. And what he's saying here is, God justifies the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. He could have switched them around. He could have said it the same way. He could have said he justifies the circumcised and the uncircumcised by faith or through faith. You see, same point. It all comes back to the law of faith in Christ Jesus. I hope I didn't confuse things there, but but I just wanted to see that, you know, what he's saying. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That was the point that we made a few verses ago. But he said, yeah, that the price that was paid on the cross by Jesus in his death. Okay? All right. So, do we make void the law through faith? Do we make void the Mosaic law through faith? Now, the Mosaic law was nailed to the cross and taken out of the way, okay? But does that mean that it's void? What? You guys arguing with each other? No. Yeah, that's the point that he's going to make here. Do we make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. And the word establish is kind of a, it can be correctly translated that way, but I think we understand it better in the other ways it could be translated. We affirm the law. We validate the law. If you go back to the latter part of verse 21, what does that say? In this chapter. See, it's not like this is the first time he said this. Chapter 3 and verse 21. Acts 4 reads a little bit different than Romans 3. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest or demonstrated, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, which is the point that Pax was making. The law and the prophets pointed to Christ. And in essence, what he's saying here, if Christ didn't come, the law and the prophets isn't validated. Okay? So he's saying the law of faith in Christ Jesus validates the law, the Mosaic law, and the prophets, what it pointed to. It, what they said was going to come, came. Okay? So, why are you still boasting in the Mosaic law? Okay? Questions, comments? One of the things that makes this difficult, I think, for us to read is because there are so many technical points that are made and made even inside the main argument that he's making, you know. And that's just the style of Paul, you know. He's got like a main point, but as he's making the point, he kind of proves his point and, you know, throw some other things in on his way there. And so that's why a lot of times I'll underline things and leave portions of what he said out just to get the main picture and then go back and notice those other points that kind of build on that main point. Any questions?
Just a comment. He's using his Jewish credentials to make this argument.
Well, they were using their Jewish credentials to say, you all need to listen to us. You Gentiles need to listen to us. Okay? Well, here's Paul. He's a Jew. He's a Pharisee. He was a rising star, you know, among the leaders of the Jews. Okay? So he knows this stuff.
I mean, considering who his teacher was.
Gamaliel.
Yeah. That's why I say he was, you know, he's utilizing his Jewish background.
He knows whereof he speaks. And his other teacher was Jesus, so. All right, we'll pick up with chapter 4 then on Sunday.